Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, Ambarish Maharaj, offended by Durvasa Muni, text number 21. Evam sada karma kalapam atmana Paredi yagye bhagavat yadokshade Sarvatma bhavam Vidadan Mahim Imam Tanishta Vipra Bihitak Shashasaha Evam. Thus, a living a devotional life, Sada, always, Karma kalpaham, the prescribed occupational duties as a Kshatriya king, Atmanaha, of himself, personally the head of the state, Pare, unto the supreme transcendence, Adiyagye, unto the supreme proprietor, the supreme enjoyer. Bhagavati, unto the supreme personality of Godhead. Adhokshaje, unto he who is beyond material sense perception. Sarva Atma Bhavam, all different varieties of devotional service. Vidadat, executing offering. Mahim, the planet Earth. Imam, this. Tat Nishta, who are faithful devotees of the Lord. Vipra, by such brahmanas. Abhihita, directed. Shashasa, ruled. Ha, in the past. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In performing his prescribed duties as king, Maharaj Ambarisha always offered the results of his royal activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the enjoyer of everything and beyond the perception of the material senses. He certainly took advice from the brahmanas who were faithful devotees of the Lord, and thus he ruled the planet Earth without difficulty. Please repeat, in performing his prescribed duties as king, Maharaj Ambarisha always offered the results of his royal activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the enjoyer of everything and is beyond the perception of material senses. He certainly took advice from brahmanas who were faithful devotees of the Lord. And thus he ruled the planet Earth without difficulty. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Poktaram yagatapasam sarvalokam heshuram suridam sarvabhutanam kyatva mam shantim richati. People are very much anxious to live in peace and prosperity in this material world. And here in Bhagavad Gita, the peace formula is given personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone should understand that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the ultimate proprietor of all the planets and is therefore the enjoyer of all activities, political, social, cultural, religious, economic, and so on. The Lord has given perfect advice in Bhagavad Gita, and Ambarish Maharaj, as the ideal executive head, ruled the entire world as a Vaishnav, taking advice from the Vaishnav Brahmanas. The Shastras enjoin that even though a Brahmin may be well-versed in the occupational Brahminical duties and may be very learned in Vedic knowledge, he cannot give advice as a guru until he is a Vaishnava. Sat karma nipuno vipro mantra tantra visharada avaishnava gurur nasyat vaishnava swapacho guru. Therefore, as indicated here by the words tanishta vipra bihitaha, Maharaj Ambarish took advice from Brahmanas who were pure devotees of the Lord. For ordinary Brahmanas who were merely learned scholars or experts in performing ritualistic ceremonies are not competent to give advice. Give advice later. In modern times, there are legislative assemblies whose members are authorized to make laws for the welfare of the state. But according to this description of the kingdom of Maharaj Ambarisha, the country or the world should be ruled by a chief executive whose advisors are all devotees, brahmanas. Such advisors or members of the legislative assembly should not be professional politicians, nor should they be selected by the ignorant public. Rather, they should be appointed by the king. When the king, the executive head of the state, is a devotee, and he follows the instructions of the devotee brahmanas in ruling the country, everyone will be peaceful and prosperous. When the king and his advisors are perfect devotees, nothing can go wrong in the state. All the citizens who become devotees of the Lord, and then their good character will automatically follow. Yes, yasti bhaktir bhagavata kinchana savargunas tatra samasute sura haravaktasya kato mahadguna manavrate nasati davato bahi. One whose unflinching devotion for the personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the demigods. But one who is not a devotee of the Lord has only material qualifications that are of little value. This is because he is hovering on the mental platform and is certain to be attracted by the glaring material energy. The Bhagavatam 5.18.12. Citizens under the guidance of a Krishna conscious king will become devotees, and then there will be no need to enact new laws every day to reform the way of life in the state. The citizens are trained to become devotees. They will automatically become peaceful and honest, and if they are guided by a devoted king advised by devotees, the state will not be in the material world, but in the spiritual world. All the states of the world should therefore follow the ideal of the rule or administration of Maharaj Ambarish as described here. So the translation again. In performing the prescribed duties as king, Maharaj Ambarish always offered the results of his royal activities the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the enjoyer of everything and is beyond the perception of material senses. Certainly he took advice from brahmanas and were faithful devotees of the Lord, thus he ruled the planet without difficulty. As mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Indriyanam hicharitam yanmanom nuvidiyate Tadasya Hariti Pragya Vayor Ganda Ivashayat. That's the wrong verse. Indriyani Hicharitam Yad Adishtate Uchite. Indriyani Hicharitam Yad Mano Nuvidite. Tadasya Hariti Pragya Vayor Navam Ivambasi. Just like a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, so even one of the roaming senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away a man's intelligence. In other words, reality is quite simple, that we're eternal souls, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have a choice. Either we can act in the modes of nature, or we can act in the spiritual nature. So that's our choice. We can only make the choice when we come in contact with the spiritual nature, or at least the instructions coming from those souls who are in the spiritual nature, or from the Shastra. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was reviewing so many methodologies of coming to the spiritual level of consciousness, beginning with when he was talking to Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy suggested Varnashrama Acharyavataha Purushena Pumak Puman. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that's all right, but it's not going to be very practical by itself in this age. It's not going to help very much. At least it wouldn't help Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was already liberated. He was already trying to find out something beyond just ordinary consciousness. And therefore, Varnashram was not very appealing to him, because he wanted to find out how to act on the liberated platform. Now, as mentioned here, we're not necessarily only concerned with the liberated platform, because, first of all, we're not on the liberated platform for the most of us. Most of us are not on the liberated platform, and therefore, we should find out how to come to the liberated platform. In any case, Prabhupada, our acharyas, they didn't reject acting, controlling our senses in terms of following the instructions of the Varnashram Dharma, for instance, which is the first thing that Ramananda Roy mentioned, the first thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, echo bhaya, that this is external. It was external because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was interested in the internal only. But we have to be somewhat interested in the external also, how we're acting, because if we don't act properly, we'll be definitely in the external. And if we act properly in Krishna consciousness, then we can be in the internal. Or as it said in the Bhagavad Gita, Shreyan Swadamo Viguna Paradharma Swanustitat Shre Dharme Nidanam Shayak Paradharmo Bhayavaha. That it's better to perform one's duty imperfectly than someone else's duty. Destruction of the cause of one's own duty is better, because to follow someone else's duty is dangerous. In other words, we should recognize what kind of body we have and how it should be utilized in Krishna's service. If you have a Volkswagen, you should run it like a Volkswagen, not like a Jaguar. You try to run a Jaguar like a Volkswagen, you're going to wreck the car. And if you try and run a Volkswagen like a Jaguar, you'll certainly wreck the car. So we're simply in a car. It doesn't really matter what kind of car we have, at least in the human form of life. It doesn't matter, because what matters is how we utilize the car to come to the platform of spiritual life. Because we're not the body. In other words, it doesn't really matter what we have. And ultimately, even if we lift weights every day and take our vitamins or whatever we do, we still die anyhow. At the end, we all wind up in the same place, at least this body does. What matters is where we're going to be, where our consciousness is. So consciousness is displayed, the perfection of consciousness is displayed by transcendental character, like Maharaj Ambarish. And what is that transcendental character? It wasn't that Ambarish was a character. Sometimes in English, I don't know if you have here, you call someone, you're a character, which is not a compliment. He's such a character. But this character was, in any circumstance, Maharaj Ambarish was absorbed in the spiritual world. He wasn't part of the material world. He was doing his service to Krishna in the spiritual world. And at the same time, Krishna arranged his service in this material world. So he was perfectly performing his duty in this material world. At the same time, he was actually living in the spiritual world. So that's the perfection of character. Become a perfect instrument for Krishna. And then Krishna invites one to the spiritual world of existence. So Varna and Ashram is there. In other words, while we're in the material world, we should find out what Krishna wants us to do with this body. Now, what he wants us to do, he wants us to engage the body in Krishna's service, the Sankirtan movement. Now, for us right now, the Sankirtan movement means going out and distributing books, chanting the holy name, distributing prasadam, our sadhana, the Sankirtan movement. But ultimately, the Sankirtan movement is supposed to go beyond that, and when we actually reach the public, engage, get them to understand what a real society is. First of all, we have to make a real ISKCON society, which is hard enough. In other words, what is a real ISKCON society? It's actually a manifestation of Varna Ashram. As Srila Prabhupada said, it's not that we give up at any moment Varna and Ashram, because that's not possible, it's eternal. It just takes different manifestations. Although Varnashram is not manifested so much in Satya Yuga, but it is there in Satya Yuga. Although there are many people on the transcendental platform of meditation, still we find Prachini Barhisat was in Satya Yuga. Even Hiranyakashipu was in Satya Yuga. So it's always there, it's eternal, it's just the question of what's emphasized. So right now, we don't have kings. We don't have brahmanas who can light the fire just by chanting a mantra. We don't even have people who are willing to go out and take care of a cow. So complicated. We do have a lot of shudras, aspiring shudras. We are trying to get devotees to become obedient. So we do have aspiring shudras, and we have a whole society of malechas and yavanas. People have no idea what the goal of life is or how to obtain it, or going completely in the wrong direction. We have a whole society like that. But the Sankirtan movement is supposed to be organized in such a way that gradually it develops so that we actually start reaching society. And how's that? Prabhupada writes in the second canto of the Bhagavatam that although we don't specifically tell people you're in some varna and ashram, because people will be insulted, if you become a Brahmin, say, oh, you're a Brahmin. Just like people get second initiation, they think, now I'm a Brahmin. We're still probably a Shudra. We just have a sacred thread on. Because a Brahmin means Samadhamma Tapasocham Shanti Arjum Evacha Jnana Vijnanam Asti Gyan Brahma Karma Savavacham. So we'll be a Brahmin, we'll be in Brahman when our minds are equal all the time. When we give up all our anarthas, Samadhamma Tapa, when we actually control our senses and engage them strictly in Krishna's service. And when we're clean, we actually wash our hands spontaneously, even after prasadam. Prabhupada said, even after drinking water, a Brahmin washes his hands. Shantira, when we're always peaceful, as it mentions in this verse, Bhoktaram Yaga Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, when we actually accept that Krishna is the proprietor of everything. That even the 50% or 90% or 99% that I keep for myself, it's still Krishna's. Although I think it's mine. Without Krishna giving me intelligence, I can't even move my hand. What to speak of claiming that these things belong to me. And Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam, that he's the enjoyer, he's a controller, and he's the actual friend. His instructions are meant for our liberation, for our benefit, to get out of our miseries, material existence. So that's actually a Brahmin. So what do Brahmins do in our Hare Krishna movement? As Prabhupada said, in the second canto, fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. First canto, fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Shushusha evam shushushya brahmams tapa traya chakirchitam. What do? The Brahmins, they talk about Krishna. They preach that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And no matter how good they are at convincing people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they don't claim that they're a great personality, that they become God because they can convince others that Krishna is God, that they're somehow or another separately empowered to do that from Krishna. And those who are not so much into studying and describing Krishna's glories, explaining how one could become conscious of Krishna, then they organize the Sankirtan movement. It takes organization and intelligence, Prabhupada said. So some people are organizing, and some people have the intelligence to describe Krishna in a way that makes sense to people, that they can eventually surrender to Krishna and engage in his service. And some people have the resources, that if you run a society, you actually need resources. Because Krishna supplies the resources, but he allows us also to gather resources and engage them in Krishna's service. So those who supply things for the Sankirtan movement, they're also engaged in the Sankirtan movement. Those who are organizing the Sankirtan movement, and those who are explaining about Krishna, these are the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas of the Hare Krishna movement. And everyone else is assisting. But because we're so much caught up with our upadis, as soon as we start labeling people, the people who are Kshatriyas will start practicing the martial arts and get in fights with each other. And the Brahmins will think, touch my feet, I'm a Brahmin. Or don't step on my shadow, you're contaminating me. And the Vaishyas will think, all these beggars, sannyasis and Brahmins, without our mercy, they can't push on the Sankirtan movement. We're actually the ones who are supplying everything. By our mercy, it goes on. So that has to be there. The Sankirtan movement has to go on. At the same time, we should have a sense of Krishna consciousness. Without that sense of Krishna consciousness, without the sense that we're dependent on utilizing this body according to our nature in the Sankirtan movement, at the same time we're supposed to remember Krishna. That the essential part is to remember Krishna. And forget other things. Nanyam gunebhyas kartaram drashteva nupashati gunebhyas chaparam veti madbhavam sodigachati. Well, one can see that there's nothing beyond the three modes of material nature and all activities, and that the Supreme Lord is transcendental to all of them, then one can know my spiritual nature. So we should know, either we're engaged in remembering Krishna and activities that help us remember Krishna, or we're in the material energy. It doesn't matter how nice the material energy we're in, but it's still the material energy. On the other hand, when we actually see Krishna, when we actually do things that help us remember Krishna, then that will help us give up our tendency to do things that cause us to forget Krishna. That will be, that's the plot for vairagya, not just trying to give up material activities, but trying to engage in spiritual activities. Because when we engage in spiritual activities and we get the higher taste, and what is that hard taste for us? Does it mean we chant our rounds and we're rolling on the temple room in ecstasy every time we say Hare Krishna and we're too much ecstasy? No, we can just chant and listen for 20 seconds. We've made a lot of progress. We've gotten off the mental platform. The Manovrite Dasati Davato Mahi. This mental platform. Woo! Hare Krishna, oh, listen, I'm such a great devotee. All over the universe, my God, where is it going to stop? Let me chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And we just get off the roller coaster of the mind for, a minute. My God, I'm a pure devotee. I can't believe how strict I am. I'm so advanced, I can't believe it. Now gradually get off the mental platform, because that's the platform we're generally accustomed to be on. And when we get off the mental platform, we generally get into the sensual platform. Ah, it's prasadam, I'm off the mental platform. Wow, 15 minutes I wasn't on the mental platform, I was completely on the sensual platform. What a relief, my mind is so satisfied, I can't believe it. Back on the mental platform, oh, I ate too much. Oh, I ate too much. So we have to get off this mental platform by just chanting and listening. Listening to what? We should listen to our voice as much as possible. Generally, we chant Hare Krishna, our japa. My God, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm listening, and it's so dry, I can't believe how bored my sound. I'm not getting any ecstasy. I'm just chanting, I'm paying attention. No ecstasy. Krishna is not merciful to me. What is he doing to me? It's been at least 2 minutes now I've been listening and nothing has happened. So therefore it says in Bhagavad Gita also, one has to be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. So this vairagya, this detachment, we should do our duty and not demand from Krishna, oh Krishna, I've been chanting with attention, where is the bliss that I deserve for being such a nice, strict devotee? I got off the mental platform for 2 minutes for you, and you haven't surrendered to me. I mean, you haven't given me any transcendental bliss yet. I think I'll go back to the mental platform. Hare Krishna, I'm God, I'm the enjoyer. I'm so great, I'm so nice, I can't believe these rotten people who don't accept me as the Supreme. They're definitely going to get it. When I become the Supreme, when I become the Controller, they'll get their dessert. So we have to get off the mental platform and just wait for Krishna's mercy. Chant, listen to ourselves chant, and try to improve the chanting rather than say, oh, I'm chanting, but I can't, you know, it sounds so dry, I don't really believe in Krishna, it's the Krishna and his name couldn't be the same. No, chant and try to listen, try to chant more sweetly, more attentively, and then Krishna, when he sees that we're actually sincere and that we're actually not trying to control him, we actually are trying to surrender to him, we're actually chanting to engage in his loving service, not to engage him in our loving service. Then Krishna will reciprocate when he sees our sincerity. That's all he's looking for. Then we'll have something to talk to people about. Otherwise, as it says here, there are so many Brahmins, they have so much knowledge. Matter of fact, after 2 weeks in the Hare Krishna movement, generally speaking, we know the whole philosophy. And therefore we read Bhagavad Gita, oh, day no sminita, day, I'm not this body, so what? Big deal. All right, they're not their bodies either, no one's their body, but you know, that's all I have to enjoy with, so I'll make the best use of a bad bargain and enjoy with this body. No, we don't put things in the right perspective. We understand in so many different ways we're not this body. We hear Krishna is God, but because we don't see it in the right perspective, therefore it doesn't change our lives very much. It changed our lives enough so that maybe we chant rounds and we follow principles, etc., etc. But it doesn't mean that our whole life is strictly absorbed in Krishna's service, because our perspective on life hasn't changed. When the extra samosa comes into view and we see everyone else has one more than I do, suddenly this hunger pain develops in my mind, and I think it's in my stomach. And I say, I need that. I'm not going to be left behind. So we're sincere, we've made it this far, but then to develop a higher perspective, even when we're faced with some temptation, that's called advancement, more advancement in Krishna consciousness. And not to hear, oh, Bhagavad Gita again, Deino Smita, I heard this so many times. And we've heard it, we've accepted it to some degree, but we don't really experience it fully. And if we keep on repeating it, Deino Sminyata Dehe, and hear that my body's changing, but I'm not changing, then a little bit of intelligence seeps through the clouds of our illusion. And we think, oh, this makes some sense. Maybe I should apply it a little bit more. I'm not the body. The goal of my life is to realize who I am, eternal spirit, that everyone is the eternal spirit. I'm by nature full of bliss and knowledge. I should try to realize that. So if it seeps through, then that's a victory, that much victory. Then the next thing is conviction. If we follow our perceptions, if our perception becomes a little clearer, and that happens by Krishna's mercy also, Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, as we apply the knowledge of Krishna consciousness and try to serve Krishna with more steadiness by giving up some of our unwanted habits and try to become a little bit more enthusiastic, which helps us give up our unwanted habits, then Krishna gives us Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, perspective and experience when we apply it. And when we have that experience, then that develops conviction. It's not simply a theory, it's an experience. And when we develop that conviction, then we refine that conviction, that those skills that we have in loving service to Krishna, and we become more and more expert in the interrelationships we have in Krishna consciousness with others. We become more expert at serving Krishna, the deities. We get up when the alarm goes off, we get up. We become a little less attached to our bed. Oh, my bed, it's so... I'm detached from everything but not my bed. I peel myself off the bed. I can't do it. Sorry. It's just too attached. So we develop the skill in every respect, and then the result is we become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. We actually feel the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees, and we participate in them also. That's our mood. That's our normal mood. It's not something that we try to artificially try to, or we endeavor for. It just becomes spontaneous. That's who we are. We realize who we are, and everyone is a loving servant of Krishna. We develop the character of a pure devotee. And as it says here, Ambarish Maharaj, he had the character of a pure devotee, and therefore he naturally followed the Vaishnavas, who also had the character of a pure devotee, not simply those who had some theoretical knowledge, but didn't have the proper perspective, nor did they have the conviction to engage in Krishna's service, nor did they have the skills of how to teach others how to do it. But they were actually of the topmost character, and therefore they were able to know exactly what to do, what to say, what to think, how to meditate on Krishna, how to serve Krishna, how to speak about Krishna, and others who inspire others to do the same. And that way they were able to spread Krishna consciousness to the whole society. The king knew how to do it, the Brahmins knew how to do it, and therefore Krishna consciousness spread to the whole society. So organization is necessary, but we also need the transcendental intelligence. So it's not enough to be just efficient, we also have to be expert. We also have to be effective in spreading Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hari Bol, thank you for the lecture. There are questions on the internet from Avaduta Rayadas. One commentary of Baladeva on Bhagavad Gita 5.19, samsara is conquered even at the stage of sadhana by those persons whose mind are absorbed in the quality of impartially displayed by the Brahman, the Lord. Question, can you explain this a bit more? I am not so convinced in this.
Well, this 5.19 follows Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shuni Chaiva Swapake Cha Pandita Samadarshanaha. That the learned, the humble sage is, by virtue of true knowledge, see with the equal vision the learned and gentle Brahman, the cow and the dog eater. And then the next verse, 519, Ihaiva Tarajita Sarge, Yesham Samye Sitamana, Yadosham Hi Samam Brahma, Nateshu Brahmane Sitaha. Ihaiva Tarajita Sarge, Yesham Samye Samam Brahma. Such a person is situated in equanimity, and therefore he's, what is that? Ihaiva Tarajita Sarge, Yesham Samye Samam Brahma. Therefore, he has no bad qualities, nidosham. I've already conquered the conditions of birth and death. They are flawless like Brahman, thus they are already situated in Brahman. So this is not a sadhaka. Well, it is a sadhaka, but it's a sadhaka on the stage of spontaneous devotional service. They've already conquered the conditions of birth and death because they're not, they see everyone as a spiritual soul. And they see everything as Krishna's property. And they know everything is meant to be utilized in Krishna's service. They're not trying to compete with others. They're not trying to get anything from anyone. They're not afraid of losing anything from anyone. As explained in the next verse, Naprarishet Priyam Prapya, Nodvijet Prapicha Priyam, Stira Budhira Sambudo Brahmani Sitaha. They're not afraid of losing anything or gaining anything. They're actually situated in Brahman. And what's the what's the qualities of the person? Vyas parsheva saktatma vindyadyatmini yatsukam sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukam akshayam ashnute. They're situated in transcendence. And they actually enjoy pleasure from within. And this way the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness because it concentrates on the Supreme. So the person on that stage, he not only sees his soul, but he sees his super soul in everyone. And he's always engaged in serving Krishna in all circumstances. Therefore, he's always in Krishna consciousness. So this is not the ordinary sadhaka bhakta trying to get free from anartha nivritti. This is the self-realized devotee. And he has all the good qualities. Anyhow, it goes on in the fifth chapter. Anything else?
Yes, there is one more from Avadhuta Raya Das. Regarding the fate of a Brahmana, a question arises. How did Vishnu pull the elephant through the needle? If he made the needle bigger, then it was no longer a needle. If he made the elephant small, then it was no longer an elephant, but some microbe. What is your solution to this mystery?
Well, if you're going to make an elephant garland, you have to pull it through the needle first. No, I mean, what do we know? It's very easy to pull an elephant through a needle for your God. First of all, what we think is an elephant is 99.9% space, according to the scientists. So if you actually condense the elephant into its actual elements and you cut out all the space in between it, it's quite small. I mean, you can just easily pull it through the eye of a needle. You just have to know how to contract the elephant. I mean, it's not a big thing, actually. The mystic yogis, how do they wind up becoming bigger than a mountain or smaller than a needle? They can just walk through the prison or they can walk through the door, the underneath of the door. They know how to manipulate material nature. So Krishna is Yogeshwar. He can do anything. It's not difficult. It's just that our perception of reality is so distorted that we don't understand what reality is. I mean, the yogi can, just a normal yogi, well, a good yogi, he can ride the sun waves, the sunlight into the sun planet. So we say, oh, that's impossible, because we can't do anything. We're just envious, and because we can't do anything, we think it's impossible. But even people on this planet with a little bit of mystic power, people think, you know, how do they do it? As I gave the example, that there was one mystic in England in the 1800s. And he called all the biggest scientists in Europe to a hotel in England, along with George Wallace, who was a co-founder of Darwinian evolution. Not exactly an avant-garde person, we could say. And he called them to the second floor of the hotel, and they all watched. He opened the window and walked out the window into the space, and they walked back in. And they all saw it, and they all reported on it. And when the American scientists heard about this, they said that you're all an illusion. It's impossible. It didn't happen. Because it didn't fit into their conception. And they just denied it. Matter of fact, most of science is just as Satipputta and Drudhakarma point out, you have the scientific bias. Anything that fits into their paradigm, they accept. And if anything is discovered that doesn't fit into the paradigm, it doesn't exist. So we take these conditioned souls who have a tendency to cheat, and we think their knowledge is absolute. But it's just cheating. So Vishnu, he can definitely, if he wants to, Narayan can thread an elephant through an iron needle very easily, because he's the one who created the elephant in the first place. He can do whatever he wants with it. All right, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.